All right, let's get our Bibles open tonight, and I want you to open to Proverbs chapter 11. I want to just address what's on everybody's mind, and you guys, if you want to leave that open, that's okay tonight. You can, just leave that open. That'd be all right with me. Proverbs 11, and what's on everybody's mind tonight is what took place last night with the election. And at least it's been on my mind a lot. And I think it's a pretty common thing for us to, be thinking about and all that. I went to bed last night around 1 o'clock, I think, something on that order. It was kind of late. And President Trump was up by like 10 points in Michigan and 5 in Wisconsin, and a pretty large percentage had been reporting. And we got up this morning, and he was behind in both of those states. And so we were watching the victory television coverage, which was really very good. Man, a lot of preachers on there and people with good understanding of the word. And it was, yeah, I flipped over to Fox for about 1 minute, and I was disgusted and had to turn it off. Now, I'm about done with them, I will tell you right now. There's a few on there I still care about, but wow, it wasn't favorable. That's for what I saw was not favorable. But anyway, so we came to find out that David Barton, you all know who David Barton is, he was talking this morning, and he said it's amazing how these races were shut down, the counting was shut down in Michigan, Wisconsin, where else, Georgia, North Carolina, wherever it was, yeah, and how they showed the, did anybody see the graphs? How at about 4:35, well, it was about 6:30 in the morning, I think, in Michigan, Trump is ahead still, that's trending this way as the vote number increases. And it got to one point where they shut it down, and when they came back, Biden's went like this, straight up. 138,000 votes to none for Trump. And you're going, this reeks of fraud. It's corrupt. It is. So, and the same thing happened very similar in Wisconsin. Now, I can admit if somebody beats me. But when somebody's cheating to do it, I got a problem with that. And I know you do too. But here's the thing, what we have to keep in mind here in this whole business. As we said earlier, the Lord is still on his throne. I heard Larry Kudlow saying today, he was saying, well, the Democrats, you know, it's not over, first off. It's not over, okay? It's not. And we're not letting go, because when you do things that are against the law to win an election, that needs to be called on the rug. And I won't hear any of these rhinos that get up and say, you know what that is, a Republican in name only, that get up and start saying he shouldn't challenge it and blah, 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 and all this and that. I think for the sake of the people, he needs to challenge it. It would be dishonest if he didn't. What we see is very dishonest. You don't see a vote total go up like that and one not move at all. Do you know what the statistical impossibility in that happening? 138 votes to zero would be a stretch. 13,800 would be a stretch. 138,000 votes dumped into that. Come on, we're not stupid, okay? So, again, this is frustrating, but you know, it appears that the president and his team are ready to contest that. I kind of understand why Chuck Schumer was saying Amy Coney Barrett needs to recuse herself, because they knew what they were going to do. Now, so I'm telling you what I see. I can't stand dirty stuff like that, and it angers me. George Pearson said today, Pastor George down at Eagle Mountain, he said he was praying and the Lord told him he's mad about this. the Lord is upset. So we're going to address some of this from what the Word has to say about it tonight. And again, you know what? Again, Larry Kudlow, I started to tell you, Larry Kudlow said they didn't get what they wanted because without the Senate, you know, there's these socialist junks not going to get pushed through. You got a problem when you have a Republican majority in the Senate, you know. So all that stuff it didn't work out, and it's not done yet, by the way. And we're believing for justice to prevail, and you know, so we're going to stand there. I'm kind of amazed that what's the probability or possibility that they turned, I think the Democrats turned one Senate seat. It was that Colorado. Was it Colorado or the Arizona senator? Colorado.
Arizona's still not been called, but Colorado.
Yeah. One of the senators, right? So they got they took a Republican seat there. Isn't it amazing that of all of that out there, they flipped one seat, but yet they were able to flip the presidency in states where he was way behind. And in a wee hours of the morning, they decide to stop the counting. Well, what's that all about? You stop the counting so you can go find your votes and come back, and suddenly your guy's in the lead. You know, I mean, come on. All right, Lord, you see what's happening. And so I thank you and praise you tonight for righteousness, for honesty, and a just balance being brought out. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. And verse number 1 reads this way: a false balance is abomination to the Lord. You know where it reads a false balance? False is a fraudulent balance. A fraudulent type of activity before the Lord. You know, a balance, I mean, they had the scales and they would put the stones that were a little heavier than they were supposed to be, and it would throw the totals off in the favor of the person running the scale. And that kind of cheating is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Well, there you go. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. The Word has a lot to say about when you do something dishonest and think you get away with it. I just know that God's not in favor of a candidate who wants to allow babies to be killed, says traditional marriage is, no, that's not the way it should be. There should be a third gender. If you want to call yourself something in between a male and a female, you can determine that. Open borders, higher taxes. I mean, come on, all this stuff, try to take the guns from the people, all this noise. Well, you know, we have a wonderful country. And all the different prophets of God I was hearing on that program last night, the different ones that the Lord has spoken to regarding this election, I believe, and I'll say it right now, I believe President Trump won that election. They should have called those races, because they were way far enough along that they should have called them, not stop counting and going by secret somewhere and suddenly come out and the guy's ahead. But you know who sees it? Lord saw what went on. He knows what went on. And I prayed today, I said, Lord, whoever knows about this, because there are people that know about it too, and there are some that are sitting back going, they know something that took place. And I said, Lord, I thank you for loose lips. People start talking. Yeah. Just on, I mean, if they do an audit on those ballots and they can't prove where they came from or who that person is or if they're registered and all that, which is the law, by the way, then they have to throw them out. So We're just going to let this thing play out for the Lord to be able to work. I had to repent of anger over the whole process. I've never seen this in my lifetime to this degree. We know there's always been some that has gone on, you know. But this is, man, in my old home state, in Jim's old home state, and, yeah, well, I know that, I know. And Lisa Favalora's old home state, yeah, Michigan, so, yeah. Anyway, let's go over to John chapter 3. So, Scripture's pretty plain about how God feels about an unjust balance, and so we're going to rest in that fact. I'm believing God with you. I woke up this morning and I heard Chris Gillespie online, and he was putting a thing on there, and I got in agreement with his prayer, you know, I'm like, yeah, we have the authority to bind the devil and stop all this garbage. We're talking about our country here. But I want to caution you not to be consumed with this, okay? It's one thing to get upset, which I understand being upset because I was upset myself. But at some point, you have to go back. What does the word say? Who are we serving? If God is God, and we know he is, when unjust things occur, we're going to pray that the cover be pulled off of it, okay? So, John chapter 3, look at verse number 19. You know, you could read it all in context here, but we're just going to jump in at 19 because there's a principle I want to pull out. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. See that? Verse 21, but he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The light, when the light shines on something, and you've done it, you get out your flashlight, and you're looking for something. You ever look for something in a dark closet and find something you didn't know was there? Or suddenly there's a bug that you didn't know was in there, already living there? A spider in the corner? It was fine until you shine the light in there, and suddenly you see these things. Now, I'm not saying like you have a bunch of spiders, but sometimes you'll get a spider in the corner. If they're going to be somewhere, they normally go into a corner somewhere, right? You know. But you go into a place and you turn all the lights on. With the lights out, it might look really nice. And you turn the lights on and you turn them up bright and you start to see all the imperfections and all the dirt in the rug. It's just like when you stand before bright lights, imperfections show up. They do. You know. I've done this before. I thought my car was really clean. And then I get out a really bright light. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have Jim do it. Man, look how dirty. But you back up. Hey, it looks good, you know. Tell upon closer inspection when the light's put on it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same way with things in life. When the light of God's word comes into a person's life, it exposes the sinfulness and the sin nature that they've been walking in, and they're convicted, right? What about when you and I are walking along in our lives as a believer and we do something that displeases the Lord? What do we have? We have a conviction, right? A conviction happens. What is that? It's the light of God's word suddenly hitting us and going, daughter, son, that's against my word. That attitude is not godly. That's not the love of Christ. That attitude needs to change. You need to repent. Need to get that squared up. Confess it before the Lord, 1 John 1:9, and be cleansed of the unrighteousness. Sin will always stop fellowship with God. If you're honest before you're going to praise the Lord, if you just had an argument before you got out of the car and came into the church, and you had a few words, and then you get there and you see people and you go one way and she goes the other way and you're happy and then you sit down and everything's good, but you know, you never did get that thing resolved? You never said, hey, I'm sorry, I was a little short with you. I shouldn't have said that or done that, or vice versa, she say it. You can't really praise God like you should when you have something that's there and you know you need to be cleansed of that. That was not godly. Be very careful that you don't get into an attitude where every time you look one way and a bad thought races through your mind, that you think you're having to repent all day long. Now, if you're meditating on that bad thought, yeah, then you're going to need to repent. But if a thought comes to you, kick it out. Just because it came to your thought doesn't mean that you sinned. Now, if you know enough, and then you begin to think on that thought longer, and it goes a little longer, and before long, you're taking actions or steps in order to do something about the thought that you've been having. I don't know what it is, but just for instance, okay? Just because the thought comes doesn't mean it's sin. But if you begin to act on it, if you meditate on it and don't kick it out and let it keep coming back and start thinking about it, now you're contemplating doing something about it. It's the way all sin is born. Starts with a thought, and the person has to grab a hold of it and start thinking on it. Be very careful that you don't come into your life come into this way of thinking that every time you have a thought, you've sinned. And some people go so far as to think that they have to get saved every service. Do you hear me? And then they say, man, we've had 100 people saved in the last month. We're all the same people. Over and over and over, over and over and over again. Yeah. So churches many times run up their numbers, and it sounds good. But no, look, if you sin, you know it, and you repent. You confess it before the Lord. You turn and go the other direction. You don't go that way anymore. All right? And that's important that you do that. That's the light in you that's convicting you of something that is contrary to the light. So when the lights come on and the light is shown upon an area of your life that needs some attention, don't get mad at God about it. Deal with it. Amen. So in this case, when the light comes on the works of darkness, it's going to expose them. Well, that's what's going to happen in this particular situation regarding our country. The light will shine on the darkness. That you can't do stuff like that and get away with it. It's that simple. And we're talking about a country. Amen? There's some things that need to be looked at in voting. When people go and vote in these elections, they're saying they had 90% in Michigan. I think it was Michigan. 90% turnout. That's unheard of. That's a near impossibility. We could try to get 9 out of 10 people in here tonight to do something, and we'd probably have a hard time doing that. Because there's differences. Well, I can't that. Okay, I need at least 9 out of 10 of you to come out here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there would be this, I can't. And we wouldn't have that. You might get 5 out of 10 or 4. But 90% in a state voting? Are you kidding me? You know what Wisconsin had? 104%. They got more votes than they have registered voters. Now, bing! Wait a minute. I'm ashamed of my former state. Now, I never would have done that, you know. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff that's going on. And when the light is shown upon, it's going to expose some stuff. So I think this was kind of expected. And so they're lawyered up and ready to go. So just hold fast to your faith. America's a wonderful, wonderful country. And God's still on the throne, and nothing's going to change where you and I are concerned in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me? It's not going to change for us. We lived through the Obama years, 8 years of all sorts of stuff, and God blessed us throughout and in the midst of it. Amen. Now, I was looking here, and then I went back to Deuteronomy 32. Just write this down. And verse 35 says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Vengeance is mine, the book of Romans says, saith the Lord. He'll have his way. He will. And to think that you're going to pull the wool over the eyes of half of the country with dishonesty is not the way to go about it. If a person can win, you know, I've always thought this when I was playing tournament tennis, and if somebody beat me, they beat me. And I can admit that. But if somebody's cheating me, no, that ain't going to happen. No. We'd always call for an umpire or somebody to come in and say, hey, this guy's making calls that are crazy. That's not even close. You're supposed to do it on the honor system when there's not line judges. Whoa, we had some very dishonorable opponents through the years I did. So, yeah. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So we're going to pray in just a moment and pray about this situation that's going on right now. Look at verse 13. But all things that are reproved or discovered are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Oof. Look at the next verse. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Listen to me, that this at this moment in time, we can't just throw in the towel and say, oh, well, they cheated, so I guess they're going to win. That cannot be the approach. It cannot. And some are saying, well, just let it go. Just let it go. Don't contest anything. I've heard that already today. Not from anybody in our church or anything like that, but some of the leading Republicans that are questionable in to me in their support for the president, just let it go. You shouldn't do that. Let it go. I'm like, wow, serious? You condoning that? Can't condone it. I read Psalm 3 today. And Psalm 3 is the psalm when David is fleeing from Absalom. His own son is hunting him, remember? And he's scared. And Absalom had pulled some people that were loyal to David away from David, and now we're out to kill David too. And there was some, real fear in David at this moment. And as you read through Psalm 3, it talks about many there be that trouble me, words to that effect. They're sitting around a fire and at night, and I can just kind of picture the scene. Lord, are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that save my soul. There's no help for him in God. In other words, it's impossible. The situation, you will not get away. You will be caught, and we will kill you. And that's what he was facing. He was vastly outnumbered. And fear was trying to grip his heart. But what did he do? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Because after all, God's bigger than everything else around. And if you put your trust in God, put your hope in him, there are times that, it isn't just land in your lap. You actually have to contend for the faith. And this is one of those instances where there's going to need to be some contending taking place. And Christians, and I've heard this a lot too, a lot of times conservative people are kind of like, oh, well, we don't want to be aggressive because we're loving people. Well, there comes a time. They picked on the wrong guy by coming after President Trump like this, because he's not going to sit back and go, hey, No, he's going to fight for his rights. You had to know that they were going to try to do something. For 4 years, they've tried to get him out of office. They've tried everything they can they've thrown at him. And then they weaponized this COVID thing and turned it into, you better not go anywhere. You better do the mail-in voting so that could be a fraudulent activity. And, it's just a mess. But God is bigger than all of this mess. Amen? Then I also looked into and read in Luke 24. You remember when Jesus died, the disciples were all kind of huddled. They were scared too because, all their hopes were dashed. And I'm not comparing our president to Jesus Christ. I'm not. All I'm comparing is the feeling of defeat, the hopelessness in the way a situation looks. And I'm reminded of the way the disciples felt. And I guarantee you, their hopes were dashed. And they also were under threat of physical pain and death even, because they backed Jesus. And now you remember how Peter caved in when they said, "You're one of his." "Oh, no, no, no." Three times he denied Jesus. And now Jesus is gone and is in their thoughts there to defend them. And they're kind of on their own. And they're scared. And so in just three short days, everything would change. In just a short period of time, everything would change. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. And so David's situation turned around, and he was mightily blessed, and Absalom ended up getting his hair caught in the tree. Wasn't he the one? Yeah. The big long hair, 7 pounds of hair. Abby, how much hair do you have to have 7 pounds? A lot. It's kind of like a blanket, man. I mean, you know, you see those weighted blankets now that you can get, you know? Yeah. I'll bet they're not 7 pounds. They might be. They are, yeah. So put that on your head. You know, I mean, you'd be walking around like this all the time, you know, unless you had a really strong neck, you know. I can just, every time I think of Absalom, I think of that guy. It's not Buddha, you know. His hair, you know. Yeah, Fabio. I was going to say Fabio. Yeah, boy. So anyway, it's not butter. No, it's your hair. But nothing was impossible to those that trust the Lord. So tonight, y'all, I just want to encourage you to hold fast to what we've been praying and standing on all along. Just because the enemy reared his ugly head and did something dishonest, don't let that defeat your faith. Don't let that defeat your faith. They knew all along that something like this could happen. So they're going to deal with it. And we're going to hold fast to our confession. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to hold fast to our confession. I want to actually go ahead and be seated again. Sorry about that. Because I want to pray for a moment and pray about this situation together. So let's just go before the Lord in prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the attack of the enemy on this country. You see what has gone on. How a party that willfully kicked you right out and doesn't even want the mention of your name to be a part of their platform in any way, shape, or form. They've come against you in the freedom of worship, how churches ought to be able to worship. They've condemned that and stood in agreement with shutting churches down. Father, they don't like the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. They don't like that. They kicked you right out of their platform where your name was not even mentioned at their convention. Father, I know you know what's going on. I know you see how the Democratic Party has turned against you. And we're not going to hate them, because we're not going to do any good in the lives of anybody if we walk in hate. And we will not do that. So tonight, Father, we pray that that the light uncovers the darkness and the truth is revealed in regards to these places where the vote went skyrocketed in just a moment's time and our president received no votes. Lord, we just all know that that's not even possible. And knowing that they've kicked you out, it was not a miracle that you had anything to do with. So, Lord, we thank you for the unveiling, the uncovering of this fraudulent activity and the appropriate actions taken to nullify those votes and pull them out of there in the name of Jesus. Father, we just lay this election again in your lap. I don't care what they're saying. It's not over. It's not over. Father, I thank you and praise you tonight and give you glory that you uncover and lead and guide your men and women, your kids, and our president, who's one of yours, vice president, who's one of yours, who have boldly proclaimed their Christianity and been so good to the church in America. Now, Father, we just hold that up before you, and I ask that you move on their behalf. You move on the behalf of your kids in this nation, in Jesus' name, that are standing for righteousness, standing for holiness, standing for the gospel, preaching the word of God, speaking the word of God, living the word of God, doing it freely and rejoicing in your name and in your word. I thank you tonight and praise you tonight for the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, devil, you're under our feet. You always have been. You always will be. You and all your lying cohorts, you're not going to steal from the body of Christ what God has purposed in this nation in Jesus' name. And not only for the body of Christ, but for the world too, because they don't know it, but they're better off with a president that loves the Lord God and is not ashamed to speak it and say it. And so we bless you tonight and praise you tonight in Jesus' name. We give you glory, honor, and thanksgiving that you hear us. You hear us. You see what's going on. You see what has transpired in the last 24 hours. You know what took place. And I thank you for rectifying it and straightening it out, using whoever will listen to you and do what you instruct them to do. And I thank you that they are very, very attuned to your voice. I'm thinking of Jay Sekula, who's a born-again, spirit-filled believer. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, for using him, for using the various lawyers that are servants of yours. Now, I praise you and thank you for that, that they stand up for the rights of over, 60, 70 million people, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we bless you tonight and praise you tonight and thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Your love, your goodness. Thank you for peace in our president tonight. Peace in his family. Peace in our vice president. Peace in the whole staff. Peace in the Trump reelection campaign. Peace over the body of Christ in this nation that has stood up for righteousness, stood up and been faithful to stand in the gap and intercede for the president on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord, for peace in all of us tonight. In Jesus' name, we'll walk in that. We're not going to let a thievery and dishonest activity steal our peace. Oh, no, no, no. What Satan meant for bad, it'll be exposed. You just watch. They'll expose it. It'll all be brought out. And Father, we thank you for the revealing of it in Jesus' name and for the appropriate steps taken to nullify, and I mean nullify, those false results that came forth as a result of that dishonest stuff that they pulled early in the morning hours in Jesus' name. So we do agree. We do agree. And we bless you tonight and praise you tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, to further expand on that, there are people in that counting room that know what went on and know what dishonest stuff and where it came from. Who gave the mandate and the order. Father, I thank you and praise you tonight. There are some good people that have gotten caught up in that stuff. And in the name of Jesus, they'll sing. And they'll tell the right people. And I thank you, Lord God, for moving in their conscience. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we just praise you and thank you for those prophetic words that you gave to the various men and women that you spoke through over the last how many years it's come out. And Father, we thank you for the results. And we just praise you and bless you tonight. This country belongs to you, sir. And you're not about to turn it over to people that want to destroy it. In Jesus' name. So we stand. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Now, don't let that be all the prayer that you have. You know, pray in the Spirit. The best thing to do is to pray in the Spirit. Because when you do that, hey, you're not going to be praying anything inaccurate. Amen? Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so, praise report for Andrew's healing. That was a wonderful, wonderful manifestation. We give God glory for that. And we'll pray for Larry in just a moment. You started the...